The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week's Parsha is Parsha Shaftim. In Parsha Shaftim, Dvorim Yud Zayin, Posuk Ches. When there will be a judgment which is beyond you, whether we have to distinguish between a certain type of blood and another type of blood, or a certain type of litigation between two people, or a certain type of leprosy, whatever it might be, and there's a quarrel in your gates, this means in the courts. You shall go up to the place where Hashem is chosen, and this refers to Yerushalayim. And you should come to the Kohanim, or to the Levim, to the judges who will be in that day. And you should ask of them for a decision, and they shall tell you what the law is. And you shall do in accordance to what they shall tell you from that place. And you shall guard carefully to do whatever decision they give. In accordance to the Torah, in accordance to the law which they shall decide, in accordance to the law which they shall tell you, you shall do. You shall not turn from this to the right or to the left. And the person who will, with intent and purposely, shall not listen to the Kohen or to the judge, and he shall do otherwise. Umeso ishahi ahu, this man shall be put to death. Ubiata aromi Israel, and you shall destroy the evil from within you. Mechola om yishmu viyiro vela yizidu non, and all of the nation shall listen and shall fear, in order that they shall not do this again. Now, what is this referring to? That you shall go up and you shall listen to the judges, and if not, you shall be put to death. Let's go into a little of the laws relating to this parsha. The Rambam brings in Hilches Shaftim, in Hilches Mamrim. The Rambam says, "Bez din hagodol shebishalayim heim ikur Torah shebalpeh." The Bez din hagodol. This was the Sanhedrin Agdola, the great court. This was a court which had 71 judges. The first Sanhedrin Agdela, the first great court, was the court of Moshe Rabbeinu, which had 70 elders, and together with Moshe. Now their place was in Yerushalayim. Heim ikur Torah shebalpeh, and they represent the Torah shebalpeh. They represent the oral law. We have a written law, the Teirish Miksav, and we have an oral law that was given together with it on Har Sinai, on Mount Sinai to Moshe. The oral law is the interpretation of the written law. Now they represent the interpretation of the Torah. V'heim amude ha'iro, they are the pillar of instruction and legal judicial decisions. Umehem Heiku Mishpat Yetzei Lechol Yisrael. And from them statutes and judgments shall go out to all of Israel. The Aleihan Hipticha Torah. And the Torah relied upon them. As it states, he quotes what we just read, Al Pi HaTeira Asher Yerucha Zu Mitzvus Esei. That you shall do in accordance to the Torah, that they shall instruct you. V'chol ha'mamin b'meisha Rabbeinu b'teirosei chayiv lismech ma'isa hadas aleihem. And whoever believes in Meisha Rabbeinu, Meisha our teacher and his Torah, he is obligated to entrust his entire belief on them. Kol misheina isek heroson, whoever does not do in accordance to their decisions, Eva Belesa said, transgresses a negative commandment. Shnemar, as it states, Leisosu mikoladovar ashe yagidu l'cho yaminu smol, and he quotes what we read, that you shall not turn from what they say to the right or to the left. Now, in what areas do they have the supreme judicial authority? Echad dvorim shelem dosom mipi ashmua vehem teresh balpeh. In the areas of what is known as Divrei Kabbalah, in the areas of what they received from their predecessors. If they say that the interpretation of this particular mitzvah, this particular law, is in such a manner because this is how we were taught by our teachers, who were taught by their teachers, all the way to Meisha Rabbeinu, that's one area. A second area, dvorim shelamdum pidaiton biachas min hamidos shehatera nidreshes behem v'nira b'nehem shedover zekachu. A second area which they have supreme authority over is to expound the Teilei Shebichtav, to expound the Torah, the written Torah, in accordance to the principles which were given to use for such expounding. They say this is the meaning of what the Torah says here, and this is the meaning of what the Torah says there. And they expound this and come to this conclusion through the principles that were given for this. That's the second area that they have supreme authority over. A third area, the Dvorim Shasun Sigla Torah. Alfi Mashat Shot Sricha, Behin Exeris Vatok Takonis Vamin Hoges. If they feel that it's necessary to enact a law, that even though it's not written in the Torah, but they feel it's necessary to enact a law because the hour calls for such a law, a gzeira, or a takona, or a minog. This is a third area, be it a a law which will safeguard the transgressions of other laws, or a law which they see it's necessary for society, or a certain custom they want to enact. This is the third area that they have supreme authority. In all of these three areas, it's a positive commandment to listen to them, and anyone who transgresses, does not listen, will transgress a negative commandment. As it states, Al piatera asher yarucha, in accordance to the Torah which they instruct you, and this refers to laws that they enact, ala mishpot, this refers to laws that they expound, and mikol ha'dovar asher yagidu lecha, this refers to the Kabbalah, to that they receive from their predecessors. Then the Rambam goes further. Divrei Kabbalah, Kishohoyo Bezdin Hagodol Kayim. When we had the Bezdin Hagodol, this was the Sanhedrin Hagdola, the Supreme Court. Lohoyisa Machlekes b'Israel. There was never a Machlekes, there was never a legal dispute in all of Israel. That there should be two opinions in any of the areas which we mentioned before. There could be many opinions theoretically, but two opinions in practice This was impossible. Kishohoye Bezdin HaGodl Kaim Lohoye Samach Lekes B'Yisrael. There was never a dispute, two ways of doing something in Israel. Ela kol din shenayled by Sofik, le'echod mi'Yisrael, shayle Bezdin Shibirai. Whenever someone had a question in regards to a certain mitzvah, a certain practice, so they would go to the particular Bezdin, to the court in their city. Im yodu omrulei. If they knew how to answer his question, they would answer him. Im lab hare ha-sheil im eise Bezdin, im shluchav eilin Yushalayim. V'sheilin le-Bezdin she-behar ha-bayis. If they could not answer his question, then they or representatives of the Bezdin would go up to one of the three courts which were in Yushalayim. The first one was in Har HaBayis. And they would put the question there. If they knew how to answer, they would tell him. If not, then they all would go together with a representative from the court of Har HaBayis. Har HaBayis was in the outer area of the compound of the Beis HaMikdash of the temple. So then they would go to a greater court, which was Al Pesach HaAzora, which was right before the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash. Im Yodu Omru Lehen. If they knew the answer, they would tell them. If not, then they would come to the Sanhedrin HaGdola, the Beis Din HaGodol, of Shivim Ve'echod, of 71 judges, which was Lishkes HaGozis. Lishkes HaGozis was in the Beis HaMikdash proper. Half of it was built on Kodesh, on what was land which was Kodesh, belonged to the Beis HaMikdash, and half outside. Im hoya hadovish shenayled bo hasofik lechol yodua etzel Beis Din HaGodol. If this question, if this problem, if this dilemma was known to the Sanhedrin and HaGdola, to the Supreme Court, then emunim miyad, then they would resolve it immediately. If it was not clear to the Sanhedrin HaGdola, then they were obligated to be done in bay b'shaiton. They were obligated to judge it, to hear the arguments of all of the other judges, you know, and of all of the chachomim, of the wise, and to meisim v'neisnim, to debate it, ad shaskimu kulam, until they all came to an agreement, until they all came to a conclusion. If they could not all come to one conclusion, then they were not allowed to leave it unresolved. Then would be Yamdu L'minyan. A vote would be called. V'yelcho acha arov. The Torah says, la'achre rabim, achre rabim lahatis. And the majority opinion would be followed. V'yemru l'chol ha'asho'alim kein halocha. And then they would tell those who brought the query, this is the halacha, this is the law. The holchin lahen, and then everybody would go home. It was impossible that the Gemara says, that the Rambam brings here, we'll see the Gemara in a minute, that there could be machlekes in Israel, there could be a dispute in practice in Israel during the time of the Sanhedrin HaGdola. Because when there was any doubt, dispute, deviation of opinions as to the interpretation of a law or of a mitzvah, then it was brought to the higher court, until finally was brought to the Sanhedrin HaGdola, where they had to resolve it. They could resolve it either by unanimous opinion or by a split opinion, a vote, and the majority opinion would rule. Once they ruled, no one in all of Israel was allowed to do differently. And if he did, it was a very serious offense, which we will see in a minute. This is very interesting because many people think that the fact that there's such divergence of practices amongst Klal Yisrael, this is good. See? Divergence of practice is good. Variety is the spice of life. And it's good that there's so many different customs and so many different interpretations and so many different ways to do the same mitzvah and so many different kehillas and divergences of opinions. This, the Gemara says, comes because of something that was not good. This comes from a curse. It does not come from brocha. This was not the way it was made out to be. But it was made out to be that there was only one way to perform every mitzvah, and there was only one way to perform for every practice and every custom. Unless there could be sometimes in particular cities, the local Beis Din would find a necessity in that particular city maybe to enact a certain ordinance that was only particular to that locality. But when it came to something of a national practice or mitzvahs, Kishohoya Beis Din HaGadol Kaim Lehoi Samachlekes B'Yisrael, that when the Beis Din HaGadol was in existence, this was during the time of the Beis HaMikdosh, then there was no machlekes in Israel. There were no. It was impossible that there should be two ways to do one mitzvah. Mishabotel Beis Din HaGadol, Robsa Machlekes B'Yisrael. Once the Sanhedrin HaGdola ceased to exist, then there came machlekes B'Yisrael. Then, because we had no central court to resolve the issues finally, a finalization. So then there came to be divergences of opinions in Israel. Now, what would happen if there was a judge, a great chacham, a very capable judge, who understood the law, the particular law, in one manner, and this was not in agreement with the Beis Din HaGadol, with the Sanhedrin HaGdola, and he wanted to do otherwise. He wanted to stick by his opinion and to do differently, and he wanted to instruct his following otherwise. So this the Rambam brings in Perek Gimel. Zokein Mamre. Now this is referred to as a Zokein Mamre. Zokein Mamre means a Zokein. A Zokein is an elder Zeshekona Chochma, a wise person, who's Mamre, who's rebellious. Zokin Mamre Omer Betorah, the Zokin Mamre which the Torah is referring to, who Chochem Echon Mechach Mi Israel. We're referring to a Chochem, to a person who's capable of Heiro, capable of rendering Torah decisions. Sheesh B'yodei Kabbalah, B'don U'meire B'divrei Torah, and he is a person who studied by others, who had the traditional wisdom of the Torah. He received it, and he gives decisions in Torah. K'may shiyadunu v'yeru kol chach mi'Yisrael shebos le'machlekes b'din min adinim im Beis Din HaGadol. And he renders a decision. He sees the interpretation in a certain mitzvah which is contrary. He sees the interpretation of a certain mitzvah which is contrary to the mitzvah, to the way the other judges see it. And it's brought up finally to the Sanhedrin HaGdola. It's brought up finally to the great court. The great court rules on it, and they rule differently than this particular individual. And he refuses to concede to their opinion. But he argues with them, and he gives a decision contrary to them. Gozra olav teira miso. This person is guilty of capital punishment. Afal pi shehu don v'hein doni. Now, it's not because, the Rambam brings, it's not because, because they're right and he's wrong. Because we're speaking about someone who's as equally as wise.
So it's not because they're right and he's wrong. Afal pishu hu don v'hem donim. Even though he has very clearly explained his reasons, and they have explained their reasons. Hu kibel v'hem kibla. He has tradition, they have tradition. Hare hatere chol kulehem kovet. But still the Torah said that you must listen to the Sanhedrin Agdola, to the great court. And if the great court says we will forfeit, we will waive our honor, don't do anything to him, not allowed to listen to the Beis Din HaGadol. The entire purpose of this is in order that there should not be machlekes b'Yisrael. There should not be dispute, two practices in Israel. This is the reason why the Torah favored the great court over this particular judge, even though he might be a member of the great court, not because they are wiser than he, and not because they perhaps are right and he's wrong. No, could be he's right. But in order that there should not be machlekes b'Yisrael, there should not be a divergence of practice in Israel. Then the Rambam tells us that this death penalty is naturally only under certain circumstances. Firstly, it has to be an elder. If it's someone who's not capable of rendering decisions, this we don't pay much attention to. See, if a person who's not capable and goes and gives out decisions contrary to this great court, this is something that naturally he's not allowed to do, but it doesn't fall into this category. It's speaking about a judge who's capable. Secondly, it's brought that he is allowed to continue to teach his opinion. Theoretically, he can go back to his disciples and tell them that this is the way he feels the truth is. This is how we must understand this mitzvah. He is allowed to teach them, theoretically. Right? But in practice, he must tell them that they must follow the psak halacha, they must follow the decision in practice of the Sanhedrin Hagdola, of the great court. So he would only be guilty of this if he would instruct others to do differently, or he himself would do differently. But if he would just continue to teach his opinions, but saying that in practice you must follow the great court, that is acceptable. Now, what is the procedure? What is the procedure with the Zokin Mamre? Ketzar Donin Zokin Mamre? Ve'eis Shipolidove Ve'yere Bechochem Hamagia Lahiro. Bein Bedove Shir Beinov, Bein Bedove Shikibel Mira Beisav. When there is a dispute between the judges, between the Chachom, and they come to the one of the courts of Yerushalayim. They come to the first court in Yerushalayim. And that court says, this is the law. And they render a decision which is contrary to the decision of this individual. Im shama v'kibel mutav, if he accepts it, good. If not, if he refuses to, then they go to the next court in Yerushalayim. Al Pesach Hazor. They tell him the same thing. If he accepts, good. If not, then they all go to the Beis Din HaGadol, to the Supreme Court. Shemishom Teir Yetzis Lechol Yisrael. From there, Torah has to go out to all of Israel. As it states in our Pasuk, Min HaMokam HaSheivkar Hashem. From the place where Hashem has chosen. And there the law must go to all of Israel without any exception. And the Beis Din tells him, this is the law. And if that Chochem concedes, all right, then it's good. But if he refuses, and he goes back to his city, Shana Velimat Kederek Shoya Lomud, and he teaches his own opinions, but he does not tell the people that to practice that way. He says, this is my opinion theoretically, but as far as practice, you must follow the Beis Din HaGadol, that's all right, Potter. But Heirel Asais, but if he goes back to his city, and he tells them that the law is the way I say, or Shaasi Kaharase, or he himself does that way, Chayiv Misa. then he is guilty of capital punishment. Even if he gives all of the best possible reasons to support his arguments, Ein Shemin Lei, we are not allowed to listen to him. And that's what the Torah tells us at the end of that parsha, that person you must take, and he's put to death, and called Israel, Yishmu V'yiro. And all of Israel shall listen and see, V'lo Yazidun Od. And in order that they shall learn from there that no person should do this. I would like to just spend a minute or two. In Sanhedrin, we've been quoting from the Rambam that basically is taking all of his halachos from the Sifri and from the Gemara in Sanhedrin here. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, in a few places, elucidates a little more, which I would like to quote from. The Mishnah states in Sanhedrin on Pei Vav Amud Beis. Shleisha Botei Dinin Hoyosham. There were three courts in Yerushalayim. There were many, many courts all through Eretz Yisrael, or all over. We were obligated that there should be courts in every community. But they were small courts, some were a little larger. But there were three courts in Yerushalayim, and these were large courts. Two of the courts were Chov Gimel Dayonim, had 23 judges each, and the third was the Sanhedrin Hagdela, which had 71. Shleisha Botei Dinim Hoyoshom. Echad Yeshiv Al Pesach Harabais. One was on the Pesach Harabais, was on the outer part of the compound of the Beis HaMikdash. Echad Yeshiv Al Pesach HaHazor. Then the second one was closer to the Beis HaMikdash, right by the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash. Echad Yeshiv B'Lishkes HaGozis. And the third one, which was the one of 71 judges, the Supreme Court, this was Benuya B'Seich HaHazor. This was built right in the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash. Chetche B'Kedish V'Chetche B'Chol. And half of it was on land which was Kodesh, which was sanctified like the land of the Beis HaMikdash, and half of it was land on the outside. And then the Mishnah tells us what the Rambam told us, that first, whenever there was this dispute, they would come to the first court, and if he would refuse to listen, they would go to the second court, and if he refused again to listen, they would go to the third court. The then the Gemara brings on the Peches at the end of Omer Aleph, Omer B'Yeshia, Shleishet Dvorim Sochli Zirim Yanshi Yushalayim. B'Yeshia said that there were three laws which Zira said, Baal Shem Mochel Al Kinuyev Mochel. We have the law, the Parsha, which we've studied before, of Seta, that if a man is jealous of his wife because he suspects that she is committing adultery, so he places his jealousy on record, and from there comes out a whole Parsha of Seta of what can happen. If he decides to waive this and he says forget about it, it's good. Ben Seiru Emeire Sherotzu Ovi V'Imei Limchol Lei Meichlin Lei. Then we have a Parsha which is in next week's Sidra of Ben Seiru Emeire, that the rebellious child, or the father and the mother who he steals and so forth, and the father and mother take him to the Beis Din, if they decide to be Meichel, if they decide to waive what they have against him, Meichlin Lei, so we forget about it. The third halacha that Zeira said is that in Mamre Sherotzer Beis Din Limchol Lei Meichlin Lei, that is Zokin Mamre, the one who rebelled against the decision of the Supreme Court of the Sanhedrin Hagdola, if the Sanhedrin Agdola decides to waive that honor and say, leave him alone, so Zeira said, Meichlin Lai, then they have permission to do so. But now he said, when I came to my colleagues in the Dorim in the south, Al Shnaim Hedeli, Val Zokin Mamri Le Hedeli. On the first two, they agreed that the husband can waive his honor and the parents can waive their honor. But on Zokin Mamre, the courts cannot. Why? Kedesh Le Yirbu Machlekes B'Yisrael. In order that there shall not be machlekes, there shall not be a divergence of practices in Israel. Tanya, we learned in the Braisa, Omer B'Yesi, Mitchila lohoyu marbin machlekes b'Yisrael. This is where the Rambam brings it. That in the early days, there was never machlekes, there was never a divergence of practice in Israel. High court of 71 judges was in the Lishkas Agosis by the Beis HaMikdash. Shnei Boti Dinim Shil Esrei Ushleisho. Echad Yeshiv Al Pesach Harabais, Echad Yeshiv Al Pesach Azor. Then there were two large courts in Yerushalayim of 23 judges each. One was in by the gates of the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash, and the other was on the Harabais in the compound on the mountain. And then there were many other courts of 23 judges which were spread through all of the cities of Israel. When there came a question which could not be resolved, how to do a mitzvah, they would go to the Bezdin, to the court of the city. If they could resolve it, good. If not, then they would come to a greater court which was near their city. If they could resolve it, good. If not, then they went to one of the three courts of Yerushalayim, the one which was on Pesach Harabais. If they could resolve it, good. If not, then they went to the court of the Azorah, the one in the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash. And there, those who had the differences of opinions would present their case. Kach dorashti v'kach doshi chaveri, kach lamarati v'kach lomdu chaveri. This is how I understand it, and this is how my colleagues understand it. This is the way I heard from my rabbeim, and this is the way they heard from theirs. And they would come eventually to the Lishkas Agosis. Sheshom Yeshvim Itomit Shel Shachar Atomit Shel Ben Abayim Ubishabosis Ubiyom Tevim Yeshvim Bechel. They would come finally to the great court. There the great court would be in session every morning from the time of the morning sacrifice until the time of the afternoon sacrifice. And even on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Nishalu Shailu Bifnehem. And they would put the question before them. If they could resolve it, good. If not, Emdin Laminyan, they would take a vote. Robu Amatarim Timo. Robu Amatarim Taru. And the law would be in accordance to the majority. So, this was the practice, this is what took place during the time of the great court in the Beis HaMikdash. Once the great court of the Beis HaMikdash no longer was in existence, so then no longer was authority given to any central court for the entire world. So every community had to rely on its own courts and its own leaders. The Rambam brings in his Hakdoma, in his preface to his Sefer Yad Chazoka and Av Gimel. The Rambam brings, Kol Bez Din Shomar Acha Agamora, Bechol Medino Medino, every court which stood up after the time of the Gemara, in every province, and they enacted laws, or they enacted certain decrees. So these decrees or these laws could not spread throughout all of Israel. And since every court was a court of Yechidim, these were individual courts, ubezdin agodl shel shivim ve'echad batul mikama shonim kedem chibur agamora. And the High Court of 71 judges, that ceased to be already, even before the Gemara was written down. Therefore, no court has the authority to impose their decisions on a different community. And no one has the authority to tell a different community that you must enact such and such a law because this is what they enacted in another place. And the same thing, if one court decided that this was the ruling, this was the interpretation in a particular law, and a generation later another court came along and said no, and they proved with proofs that it was not right, then they would reverse it. So from there came out the divergence of different practices in Israel, which were generally based on geography. See? There were the Chachmei Sfarad, there were the Spanish elders, and there were Chachmei Tzofas, there were the French Chachomim, and Chachmei Ashkenaz, the German Chachomim, and so forth. Now, what do we learn from all of this? Firstly, we learn one principle that we see constantly come through is that in the times of the Beis Din HaGadol, lo hayo machlekes b'Yisrael. In the time of the Beis Din HaGadol, it was impossible that there should be divergence of practices and mitzvahs in Israel. It is not the ideal situation that we have so many different ways to do the same thing. This comes because we don't have the authority of the Supreme Court. Not that this is the way it was made to be. Sages always praise that Klal Yisrael was Am Echod, was one nation, with one Torah. I mean, not like the Umas Ha'elam, not like the nations of the world that had all different practices. So the ideal situation was lo haya machlekes b'Yisrael. There was one way to do all mitzvahs of the Torah, all throughout Israel, all throughout the entire world. Now, the second thing the Gemara tells us, that it is true that the divergence of opinions that came about to be, that was on legitimate grounds. Because there's nothing wrong with arguments. Arguments in Torah. The Gemara is all discussion and debates and arguments. You can only come to the truth by discussing and debating and arguing. This is known as the Milchamtei Shel Torah, in order to come to the final conclusion. And we lack that authority that can finalize. So we're left with many legitimate doubts and differences of opinions. But the Gemara tells us something else. In the same Braisa which I read before, the Gemara concludes and says, Misherobu talmidei shamai vehilo shaleishim shekol tzochen rabu machlekes b'Yisrael. Many of the differences might be legitimate, but an enormous amount of the differences were not legitimate. When the disciples of Beis Hillel, of Hillel and Shammai, began to leishim sekol tzochei, where they did not serve their master sufficiently, this means they did not mature sufficiently by their teachers, but they went out into the world half-baked. Rodu machlekes b'Yisrael. This was a major cause for machlekes b'Yisrael, for differences and divergences of practices and opinions in Israel. This is what the Gemara says. In other words, there were genuine. There were genuine reasons why there should be differences after the cessation of the Beis Din HaGadol. But there were also a reason which was not genuine. And that was Misharobu Talmidei Hakom, Talmidei Beis Shammai or Beis Hillel Shelashim Shukol Tzorchei. This is very important. That unfortunately, one of the greatest causes for the Machlekes is ignorance. Amaratzis. The Gemara in Seite brings this and that Mem Zayin Amid Beis, and it adds Mishorobu Schuchi Alev. Also, arrogance. When the Talmidim, when disciples became arrogant, and they started to assume upon themselves authority that they were not capable of assuming, this caused great machlekes b'Yisrael, great divergence in opinions. The Rambam brings, and this halacha the Rambam brings in Hilchos Talmud Torah, Perekei Halacha Dalet. Rambam says, Kol Talmud Shelehi Gila Heira Humeira, Hareze Rosh Sheite Vegasruach. Any disciple who is not qualified to give decisions yet, but he goes out and he assumes this authority, he's a Rosh, he's evil, because he's going to mislead people, he's a Sheite, he's a fool, he's a Gasruach, and he's arrogant. Velov Nemar Ki Rabim Halolim Hipilo. And on him it is said that he causes many deaths. Elu hatalmidim haktanim shleihirbu teire kiroi. These are young disciples who have not studied sufficiently. Behem vakshim lizgadl bifnei am haoretz. And they want to become great in the eyes of the ignorant. Ubein anshe irum. And in the eyes of their hometown people. And they charge forward to sit up front and to give decisions. These are the people that bring divergence in Israel and they destroy the world. They extinguish the candle of Torah and they plunder and destroy the vineyard of Hashem. Aleim omar shlemi b'choch Moshe, shlema melech ser, achazu lonu shu'alim, shu'olim, shu'olim k'tanim, mechablim kromim. He said that small foxes have invaded the vineyard, and they are destroying the vineyard. What was he referring to? This is what he was referring to. So this is one very important principle, that we see how far the Torah went to the point where even a great chochem who would defy the authority of the Beis Din HaGadol, the Torah said you must put him to death. And the Chazal say not because the Beis Din HaGadol is right and he's wrong. He's as great as they are. He might be right and they might be wrong. But Shelo Yirba Machlekes B'Yisrael, in order to maintain unity in Klal Yisrael. At this point, maybe I would like to mention something which we've had the opportunity to mention it a few times recently, but not here on Wednesday night. That we're speaking of Machlekes. People must realize how serious a situation is when there is Machlekes, when there is dispute in Klal Yisrael. We'll just give two examples on this. The Gemara brings in Gittin and Afnun Beis. The Gemara says, "Hanu beitrei de igre buhu sotten." There were two people that the sotten lived by them. Dechol beis shamshi have kominzi bahadi adodi. Two people the sotten the devil lived with. What does it mean, two people that this devil lived with? Every Erev Shabbos, they used to get in a fight with each other. That's what the Gemara means, these two people the devil lived with. Ikler emeir lohosem, Remeir went there, Ach Vinu Tlose B'Shamshi, and he stayed there three Erev Shabboses, for three Fridays, Ad Ovelu Shalma, until finally they made peace with each other. When they didn't make peace with each other, Shame Diko Amar, they heard a voice, Void Afke Remeir Lahu Gavra Mibese. What did they hear? They heard a voice come and say, Oi, Remeir has thrown me out of this house. See? Remeir has thrown me out of this house. Thank you. Remeir has thrown me out of this house. That was the devil. See, here we have a house where the Chazal, the sages, refer to that the devil lived there. What did it mean the devil lived there? And today you would tell someone that the devil lives in that house, who knows what could be going on there. What is it referring to? They used to get in a fight every year of Shabbos. And when Remeir went there and he made peace, so they heard the voice of the devil, Oi, Remeir has expelled me from this house. That was one place. This is one Chazal. Now we have another Chazal. And this is in the Medrash Rabban Parshas Noso, Parsha Yud Aleph. In Parshas Noso, we're speaking about the Birchas Kahanim. The Birchas Kahanim ends with V'yosim Lecho Sholom, that, and I shall make for you, you shall make peace. So it ends with Sholom. So the Medrash is long Medrash, which goes into all different types of types of explanation into the greatness of peace. But here, one thing that the Medrash says, Reb Lozer ben Esher, Reb Lezer Akof Eimer, Sha'afilu Yisrael Evdin Averis Kechovim. Even if Yisrael worships idolatry, but there's peace between them, Kaviyochol Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ein Asotin Negeah B'neihem. It's as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to them that the Sotin, the devil, will not be able to touch you. Now this is something to think about. Here's a situation where Yisrael is worshipping idolatry. The devil certainly should be there. And the Kodesh Baruch Hu says, the Satan will not be able to touch you since there's peace amongst you. Here we have another case where it's a fruma house, it's a good house, they're doing nothing wrong. Except they get in a fight every year of Shabbos. And this Chazal tell us, that's a house the migra buhu sotan, that's a sotan lives in, that the devil lives in. That's not what we would, if we wanted to describe a house with a sotan, with a devil, we wouldn't describe it that way. What do we see from here? We see the way the sages interpreted what means shalom and machlekes. A second principle that we can learn from all of this, and that is Torah and mitzvahs is something which is a great, great chokhmah, a great wisdom. We see where the Gemara and the Rambam brings that the whole nation was guided and motivated by the Torah Shebal Peh, by the oral law. The Beis Din HaGodol, the great court, they were the authority on the Torah Shebal Peh. They were the authority. They were the pillar that the Torah relied on. So what was their job? Their job was to see that Israel lived in accordance to the interpretation of the Torah Shebal Peh, of the oral law. The oral law is enormously, unbelievably filled with wisdom. What is the Torah Shebal Peh? Sages tell us this is the Perush of the Torah Shebiksav. Written law, The oral law is its interpretation. And there is no end to the wisdom of the oral law. If anyone learns Gemara, he sees it's not easy. It's hour after hour, day after day, of deep discussion and analysis to define the exact interpretation of the mitzvah. So a person shouldn't think that when it comes to mitzvahs, comes to Torah, this is something which is not chokhmah. But the greatest wisdom is that of Torah and mitzvahs. And this was brought out in a parsha not long ago, in Parshas Vayeshanan. In Parshas Vayeshanan, right after Sheni, in the Devarim Gimel, the Devarim Dalet Posuk Zayin, it states, Ki mi goy godol asher le yalakim krevi meilov, no, excuse me, Posuk Vov, ushmartim vasisem. You shall guard the Torah, and you shall do it. Because this is your wisdom and your understanding in the eyes of the nations. And they will say, only a nation with great wisdom and understanding, this great nation can fulfill this Torah. Ki mi goy godol asher lei elekim krevi meilov. What great nation has a God so close to him? Kashem elekeinu bechol korein eilov, whenever we call to him. Umi goy godol asher lei chukim umishpotim tzadikim. And what great nation has such righteous statutes and laws? Kechol hateira azeis asher aneichin asein lifneichem. Like this Torah that I placed before you. This is what Moshe was telling the people. Only a nation with great wisdom and great understanding could have Torah and mitzvahs. Now, what does this mean? That Torah and mitzvahs is not something that can be practiced at a shallow level or at a level which is far from understanding. But to the contrary, it must be united with a great wisdom. And like we see, that the whole direction and motivation of the whole nation was the Torah Shebal Peh. This Gemara, this Torah Shebal Peh. Now the contrary to this is what the Chazal, the sages, refer to as an amoritz, ignorance. And what we're saying now is that ignorance is actually a total antithesis to Torah and mitzvahs. And this is what the Gemara tells us. The Gemara in Seita in Seita Daf Chav Beis Omer Aleph, the Gemara brings, is speaking about what is to be considered an amoritz, an ignorant person. So the Gemara brings the age of Korah Vishona, even a person that learns Torah, but if he learns the Tereshib itself, he learns the written law, and he even learns the Mishnah. Now the Mishnah is part of the oral law, but the Mishnah is basically the practices, what one should do, but not the interpretation. The deep, profound interpretation of the Mishnah is the Gemara. So the Gemara says, Korah Vishona, if somebody learns the written law, Vishona, he learns the Mishnah, but Leishimesh Tamidei Chachomim, he did not serve by his masters to understand what the written law means, to understand what the Mishnah means. He did not learn the reasons behind it. In other words, he never learned this Gemara, this Torah Shebal Peh. What do we call such a person? So the Gemara brings various opinions. Reb Lezer Eimer Harei Ze Amoritz. Reb Lezer says this is to be classified as an amoris. And we have a Mishnah in Ovis that tells us Le'amas Oretz Chosid, that an Amoretz cannot be a righteous person, because righteousness by Klal Yisrael goes hand in hand with Torah, and Torah goes is wisdom. Reb Shmuel Bar Nachmeni Oymer Harei Zeh Bur. Another opinion that he's a bur. Bur means empty. The Gemara uses the word bur by a sodeh. Sodeh bur, a fallowed field. A field which lies fallow is a field which is called a bur. We have a Mishnah that states, Ein bur yirei chet. A bur, an empty person, cannot fear Hashem. In the world, fearing Hashem has nothing to do with wisdom. But Shlema Melech, King Solomon said, Reishis Chochma Yiras Hashem. The greatest wisdom is to fear Hashem. That's a wisdom. And therefore an empty person cannot fear Hashem. A person who has not studied cannot fear. Rabbanai Yema Harei Zeh Kusi. Rabbanai says he's a Kusi. We in the yeshiva are learning now about a Kusi in Masechta Gittin, and actually that's what brought me to this now. There were a group, there was a nation of people who were called Kusim. They were Megayer, they converted, and they became part of Klal Yisrael. But they were not good Jews. According to one opinion, they were not even good converts. But according to the other opinion, that they were good converts, but they were not good Jews. And therefore the sages tell us that you couldn't trust them at all mitzvahs, because not all mitzvahs did they keep. Basically, they would keep mitzvahs which were only written explicitly in the Torah, because they didn't believe, or they didn't study, and they didn't believe the Torah Shebal Peh, the oral law. Reb Shimon Gamliel in the Gemara says, he says, kol mitzvah shehikziko bakusi, a mitzvah that they practiced, you could trust them on. A mitzvah that they didn't practice, no, you cannot trust them. But a mitzvah they practice, you could trust them. For example, if they practice kashrus, then you could trust them. See? But he says something interesting. He says, kol mitzvah shehekziku bakusi, harbe medaktikin yesem Yisrael. A mitzvah that they practice, they kept even with a greater strictness than Yisrael. So now one opinion is, is he's a kusi. The Maral in Nesivas HaTorah, Nesiva HaTorah, Perek Desvov, Dav Samaches, he explains this along the lines we're saying. He's saying Torah and mitzvahs is Chochmah. Not only is it wisdom, it's the greatest wisdom that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created. When you see Harei Achachme Yisrael, when you see from the eyes of Israel, you have to make a brocha. Asher Cholak Mei Chochmosei Lireyov, who imparted from his wisdom to those who fear him. And that's why an ignorant person, even though by the nations of the world he can be in their eyes righteous and religious, but that's not by Klal Yisrael. And a boor, an empty person, certainly not. And someone who studies written law, the written law, and even the Mishnah, without understanding the Gemara, without understanding from his teachers what the laws of the Mishnah mean and what they are based on, then this is an amoretz, or this is a boor. Now the question, why do we call him, why does one opinion call him a kusi? One opinion calls him a kusi, and then another opinion calls him a magusha. And the magusha is a sorcerer. What's the amagushi? What is the meanings of these opinions? He says, the kusim did not have Torah. They practiced Torah, but they did not have Torah. When they saw others do mitzvahs, they did mitzvahs. So they practiced Torah, but they did not have Torah. To have Torah, that means to study Torah, to understand Torah with the depth of the Torah Shebal Peh, the oral law. That they didn't have. They only did what they saw. And therefore they were far from Torah. Therefore someone who learns Torah Shebiktav, Korah Vishona, the written law and the Mishnah, he's a Kushi. Then he says something interesting. This he says in another place. Why is it that mitzvah she'ekzikubo, the mitzvahs that they kept, they were habi medaktik in Yeshem Yisrael, that they kept even better than Yisrael? Because they didn't keep it because of Torah. They kept it because of a fanaticism. They sought mitzvahs. And certain mitzvahs that they saw, they emulated and they practiced. But since there was a practice without the Torah behind it, so it came to an extreme. It came to a fanaticism. Therefore, a mitzvah that they kept even more than Israel. That was the Kusi. Then the fourth opinion is, yes, they were amagushi. Rav Acha bar Yaakov emar, reize amagushi. Amagushi is a sorcerer. Omar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok, mestaber kavosei de Rav Acha bar Yaakov. The Gemara concludes that they like the best opinion of Amagushi, that he's like a sorcerer. Why? The Amri inche rotin Magusha veleyodema rotin toni tane veleyodema toni. The Gemara explains in Rashi, a sorcerer is someone who says words, he has his formulas, he says words, he doesn't understand what they mean, you know, it's an abracadabra. And he expects results. He doesn't understand the results. Sorcery, the Maral explains, is the total antithesis to chokmah, to wisdom. Because wisdom is where we study the relations of cause and effect. Even if you take physical wisdoms, say, what are physical wisdoms? To understand the link between cause and effect. Study of nature. We want to understand what causes the water to fall, what causes the water to rise, what causes the air to rise. So we analyze and we study the order of the creation, which is a constant order of cause and effect and cause and effect. This is a science, this is a wisdom. How much more so? The Chochmas Hashem, the wisdom, the Chochmas HaTera, the wisdom of Torah. Sorcery is just the opposite. Sorcery is where they have, by tradition, one tradition or the other. The Rambam holds that the majority are false. But even if it's true, they have by tradition that if you do such a thing will happen. See, like the Gemara, actually it's in our Parsha of the Darkei Ameiri, that if an animal would walk in front of you, you would say, then it's not good luck. If it walk behind you, it's good luck. If the twig falls this way, or if the bird calls this way, it's this. Why? Why? I mean, if a scientist will come and tell me that if you mix two gases together, you'll have an explosion, and I'll ask him why, he'll explain me exactly why, the cause and effect. But here, if you ask the sorcerer why, he'll say, don't ask why, that's the way it is. And they have, so what the Gemara says, what does Amagushi do? They babble, rotin, they babble, they talk, and they don't know what they're saying, and they're expecting results. So that's the antithesis, it's just the opposite of Chochmah, of wisdom. Someone who practiced, now here's what the Gemara is saying, a person who learns, who learned enough to know what a mitzvah is, but he didn't learn enough to understand the mitzvah, he's an amagushi, because he practices the mitzvah without any seichel, without any understanding. So what does it become? Cholila, heaven forbid, it becomes like a sorcery. Where he says words, and he babbles, and he does things, but he doesn't have the slightest understanding as to why he should say this, or why he should do it. If you take a lulav and an esrog, if you don't understand anything about a lulav and an esrog, so here he takes a tree and he puts three different types together, and then he takes a fruit and he starts shaking it. He doesn't know what it's all about. if you learn, there's an old Masechta, Masechta Sukkah, that goes into every angle of lulav and esrog. Why a lulav, and how do you know it should be from this tree, and why, and maybe it should be from a different tree, and how big should it be, and what's the proof, and all kind of debates and everything. There's a different thing now. Now you're taking a lulav and esrog, and you know 100 causes and effects as to why HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Almighty, has commanded us to take this. So the Gemara says, Mishikoro, Vishono, someone who he can read Torah and he can even learn Mishnah, but Leshimash Tamir HaChomim, he did not learn by his masters oral law. What is the purpose and the reasons and the sources for all of this? Then Harezi Amagushi, either he's like a Kusi that just does because he sees, or he's a Magushi. Why? Because the Amarinchi rotin Magusha Vleda Marotin. Because a sorcerer, he babbles and he doesn't know what he's saying, but he expects results. Toni Tana Vleda Matoni. So this person also, he says and he doesn't know what he says or why he says, and expects results. So this is what the Gemara tells us here. What do we hear from here? It's like the Rambam brings, which we started with, which he says, Bezdin HaGodol Shebishlayim Ein Iker Torah Shebaal Peh. Torah Shebaal Peh, the Gemara, the wealth of Torah, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to Klal Yisrael, that is the leader of Klal Yisrael. The authority was vested in the Beis Din HaGodol Shebishlayim, which in the great court. The Eimamude Heiro. So therefore instruction must come from them. Instruction must to Yisrael must come from no other place. Our instruction must come only from the depths of the Torah. And who were the ones who were appointed to transmit that to Yisrael? That was the high courts. Umehem Cheku Mishpat Yetzil Chol Yisrael. And from them must come the law and the statute, not to a part of Israel, to all of Israel. Ba'alein hiftichu Torah. And it was on day that the Torah entrusted and relied on this undertaking. As it states, al piatere asher yarucha zu mitzvus esrei. As it states, that in accordance to the Torah, that they shall guide you, that they shall teach you, they shall instruct you, you must listen. So this gives us an insight into this parsha of Zokin Mamre, of the one who rebels against the authority of the great court, and into these two principles that we can learn from here. One is, we see how far the Torah went to ensure unity to Klal Yisrael, that there should not be divergence in all of Israel. And secondly, that we are a nation that is led by the great wisdom of the Torah, of Mi Goy Godol. Is there such a great nation with so much wisdom and understanding?
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za. Via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at PO Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.